We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Down to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There you go, Buffalo. You got a playoff victory at home against the hated New England Patriots. 47-17, the final score.
That's John Murphy, the voice of the Bills. Maybe the only guy in Bills Mafia Nation that can count. Do we have to not, like, make fun of Bills Mafia now because the Bills beat the Patriots 11 o'clock straight up?
They have a better team.
They still go through tables, right?
They go through tables. You see that one guy that went through the table this weekend that was making the rounds?
It was off the back of a pickup truck?
Broke his neck?
Perfect. No, this was.
Is that mean?
Randy Macho Man Savage would have been proud of this elbow.
It was a good elbow.
Flying elbow. It was perfect. There was no injury outside of the table. Clean. It was clean. And that was probably a sign that it was going to be bad news for the Pats. Because if the guy, like, fell, hit his head on the truck or something, he would be like, all right, Bills are going
to
lose.
If they had to wheel him out like Buda Baker last night, it would have been better. That was a scary hit. Buda Baker, for those who weren't watching Monday Night Football last night.
Terrifying.
The safety of the Arizona Cardinals, contact down around the goal line, and
Cam Akers, helmet to helmet.
He stopped and froze. Like, you know how you get the hit on a guy and you know they're concussed and, like, their arms just sort of... It's like the gator look, and I'm not making fun.
No, I know.
But he's on the field, and everybody right away was like, get in here. And you saw the staff come rushing off the sidelines.
I guess he has movement in his, like, arms and legs, and he tweeted out that he's all right. But that for a while, they weren't sure.
It was a big stoppage because they had to make sure to get it right, because it looked like he had not only a big head injury, but maybe a neck issue as well. And maybe... some of the issues with the New England Patriots after the bye week were from the neck up, if we are to believe Patriots safety Adrian Phillips. Now, this is a comment Phillips yesterday, exit interviews, and he noted how after the bye week, things were a little different with this team. Take a listen.
I think physically we were there. I think mentally we just weren't in the right space to go out there and make those plays. And I think Buffalo was, and that's why they got us, at least their offense. I can't speak for the other side of the ball, but their offense was there mentally and physically. And for us, we just dropped the ball on that part. And I think that's what the difference was. But kudos to them. They showed up, and obviously we didn't.
How does that happen? That's insane.
Well, how do you take the comment? I know it turned into, at least on the morning show today without Greg Hill, that was it coaching? Was it players? Was it leadership? It's kind of all of it.
But
Adrian Phillips left it pretty open-ended there.
Yeah, but that is embarrassing. Again, we go back to that first game against the Bills, and the Bills safeties were asked if they were embarrassed because the Patriots just ran the ball the whole time, and then they had a little shouting match or whatever. That's embarrassing. You're not ready to go for a playoff game against a team that beat you the last time and is, like, in a division rival and all that. Like, I don't know how on earth you could say you weren't mentally in it. Now, part of that's on the coaches, but I think they can only do so much. Did they not stress how important the game was? Did they not have time to prepare? This is a team they faced twice in a month.
Right.
Like, they had plenty of chances to take a look at what they needed to do. I don't know if he's trying to make an excuse, but that's what it sounds like. And also, I think he's doing himself a little bit of a uh, I think he might be lying to himself when he's like, physically, we're right there with them. No, you're not. No, you're not. Your defense is so slow. Yeah, it's so slow. That wasn't a mental problem. That's a physical problem. You're not physically as good as the Bills. But then to sort of be like, yeah, we were there physically, but yeah, mentally it's tough. Like that. So that team is soft is what we're saying. The Patriots, turns out, normally get better as the season goes on. And I know those guys were talking to Ty Law this morning, and he was really flummoxed by it too, because he's like, most Patriots teams are playing their best in December, and that's why they're such a hard out normally in the playoffs. But this team went the other way. This team was rolling into the bye week and then fell apart after that. Absolutely fell apart. And I don't know if the Colts game broke them or the second Bills game broke them or what.
Or the bye week stopped the momentum.
How is that? Which, how can that happen?
And that's the thing. And now we're looking at the bye week and wondering, okay, did something go wrong with this group during that point of time? Was there too much success and they were feeling themselves too much?
So, or yes, I believe that could have happened. I believe they could have started to, because again, I know they're a big ignore the noise team, but they don't, because they know when people are talking bad about them. So guess what? They also know when people are talking good about them. And they were rolling. They were the number one seed for like a week or two, whatever it was. I could see how you might get tripped up for a game. Maybe two. Four out of five, including a playoff game, because you mentally weren't in it. What were you thinking about?
After a while, you run out of farts to smell. You smell your own farts.
Well, there was less delicious farts out there, too, for them, because after they kept losing, you're like, all right, maybe they're not that good. And then he lost to Miami. If anything, people were doubting him, right?
Yes.
And if anything, people were like, oh, this Pats team's not that good. They were 4.5, 5-point underdogs. Most people, now, you, me, and Shyam all thought the game was going to be close, but we all said the Bills were going to win. Like, most people, I feel like, were picking the Bills. Nationally, everybody, watching like ESPN and NFL Network, I know Rob Ninkovich picked the Pats, but he always does. Everybody else picked the Bills.
And people weren't picking blowouts. It was but they were Bills, all picking the Bills in a 4-to-6-point game, maybe, something
but so
like
how
that,
are
right?
you not prepared for a playoff game? It makes no sense. And I wonder if Adrian Phillips realizes how I guess, damaging that comment is, because I think it makes the coaches look bad. I think it does. But it also makes the players look really bad. You couldn't get up for a playoff game?
617-779-7937. How did you take the comment that you just heard from Adrian Phillips? I'm with you in that it's a convergence of some stuff, but really, when you get to the core of it, what does it really mean, what we just heard from Adrian Phillips? To me, it's why you can't get rid of every veteran yet. We talked yesterday, and I know we're going to get into fixing the defense, right? Where you're looking to move on probably from Collins and Van Noy and Hightower. But to me, this was, those guys are leaders, but their body can't cash the checks anymore, so to speak. But to me, this is a void in leadership in that. To me, the biggest worry that I've always had after Tom Brady left was what was going to happen to the championship culture. Because Tom Brady, for better or worse, is the, and Aaron Rodgers, all of them. Tom Brady is the only player in the NFL who, in my opinion, can drive a football team to probably places where they didn't deserve to go.
Yeah, you heard Mike Evans talking about it.
And he's the guy who pushes everybody. Who is that guy now? It comes from the head coach, but how many other players are still at this point in their career feeling that they need to push the other guys and keep the championship culture built? That's why you couldn't get rid of all the veterans, but now you got guys who can't do it anymore. And I look at McCourty and think that he can still play as long as he's managed, but I think the voice of Devin McCourty, especially after hearing this from Phillips, is still mightily needed on that football team and in that defense.
So I would argue the other way. Those guys were a part of this game, and it had no impact.
Well, again, keeping one is like getting rid of the other three because they can't do it.
You gotta.
But there were very few times this year where we looked at McCourty. And I know there was the run and butt against Buffalo. A
couple of weird angles. There was the Taylor play. There was the McKenzie play.
But we don't look at him the way we do Collins, Hightower, and Van Noy.
No, but I also think if McCourty wants to get paid what he's been getting paid, I'm saying, no, here's the line. I'm not even negotiating. Here's the line. If you want it, great. Like Chara. You're Chara now. If you want to come back, great. We need to get more athletic. We need to get faster. But the linebackers, you're right, are way more slow. But my problem is you have guys, apparently as good as the leadership was on defense, they couldn't get everybody else mentally prepared for the game. And then those are also some of the guys that physically can't do it. Like, Phillips is lying to himself if he thinks that physically they're the same as Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and even Dawson Knox, the way that he played.
Not with that secondary that they had out there either. That's the other thing. J.C. Jackson matched up. After that, were you going to say that Miles Bryant was matching up against wide receivers? That wasn't happening.
No, they missed Jalen Mills, but at the same time, he's not changing the game.
Like, and they also have other guys who were playing that probably aren't going to be here next year, or you hope aren't counted on as much. Like, if Jo'Wan Williams has got to play 60% of the snaps, that's probably a bad idea.
But I really truly don't understand what Phillips is saying there, where... And remember Mac Jones had a comment after the bye week when they got smoked by the Colts? And
we
got
to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah. And
you're like, what? Like, we had a bye week. Why are you feeling sorry for yourself at any point?
Right.
I really don't understand that mindset. You look at the teams that had success this weekend. You know, a lot of them were the favorites. They were expected to win. There's probably more pressure on them. There was more pressure this weekend on the Rams. Let's count Monday as the weekend. There was more pressure on the Rams than any other team, right? Because they gave up all their picks. They got Matt Stafford. He's never won a playoff game before. Sean McVay, still a genius. Is he not? And they dominated. They rolled. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. Like, oh, we got so nervous. Because you know how, like, Michael Irvin, when he talked to us on last Thursday, said, what do you get in the playoffs? Tight booty holes?
Yep.
Apparently the Patriots were the tightest. Everybody else was able to play. There was more pressure on Josh Allen and the Bills to win a home game where they're the favorite and they're the division champs than there was the Patriots. And yet the Patriots were the ones that, like, mentally froze themselves out. I don't get it.
And that was a curious comment, obviously, by Adrian Phillips. And again, how did you take it, folks? It's 617-779-7937. But we have a texture in here who is, it was the whole, oh yeah, Brady could push a team just like to 2019, where they went 3-5 in the last eight games, then lost in the playoffs. He really pushed them that far that year. Well, you know what?
So we're going to cherry pick the one.
Well, you know what? Yeah. It really should have gone on for perpetuity. That's like Tom Brady should have been doing it until he was 60.
He didn't make
to prove to people that it was ultimately sustainable and that he was the guy who was. But it really is true. He set a championship culture and was the one that nobody could clap back at. There were very few people on any, even right now.
Yeah.
Think about it. If Brady says jump to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how many are going to look at him and be like,
well, they stuck
what?
With Antonio Brown for as long as they did.
Exactly right. So there is the Brady effect. But look, these things do come to an end. And look, with Brady, he is outliving every one of our expectations. And you could argue that Belichick punted on him too early, shouldn't have messed with him. We get all that part of it. But in terms of so basically, according to some, or at least that snarky texter,
this one person.
That so all the veterans should have gone, right? Because you can't just get rid of all of those guys, but you never know when the expiration date is going to come due. Like, quite honestly, I can't look at Bill Belichick and say, how dare you think that Dante Hightower could still play after a year off? You brought in Collins because you had nobody else.
Well, I don't mind bringing
back
this year.
In a lot of ways, Dan Noy.
But this year failed.
But my point, and that's the point of it, is that now we know, all right, you got to get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
Whereas at the beginning of the year, and at least for part of the season, it was, wow, those veterans are finding a way to kind of, it was MacGyver, right? But now you know those cats can't do it anymore, and it's okay for those guys to go, but you can't just throw away every veteran because you got to have a couple of guys around to hopefully still help pass the culture along to Mac and Damian Harris and David Andrews and other guys.
I'm not as sold as you are on that because I think the defense on Saturday night could not have been worse. Couldn't have been. And they had all the old guys. They had all the leaders. They had all that stuff. And it could not have been worse. And I think that's where some of these guys, let's assume they bring back J.C. Jackson on the franchise. He's only been in the league 4 years, 5 years or whatever. But he now has to take on some of that role. Like, you've been there long enough. And in the NFL, that's like a sneaky long career already.
But remember, we also asked the question on NFL Sunday, the special edition of, is the next group ready to go? Because that was a part of the discussion going into the game.
first time
out, it definitely doesn't look good. But the one thing we do know is that Jackson, Judon, I'll even throw McCourty in there. You hope those guys can still kind of carry that, but we know what those linebackers, they got to go.
No, they gotta
but you
go.
Make a great point is Now the other guys have to step up and maintain the culture, and are guys like J.C. Jackson to play the way Ty or Asante Samuel or Stephon Gilmore? At some point, all those corners have played great in the playoffs. Now is it J.C.'s turn, and is he ready to do it?
Because I thought you might be able to have a guy like J.C. Jackson, Lawrence Guy, who I don't think was a captain this year for some reason, but was before.
I think you're right, yeah.
Duggar, as young as they are, Duggar and Adrian Phillips. Now, I thought Adrian Phillips had an opportunity to maybe become one of those leaders. Then you hear what he's saying there, and I'm like, I'm not so sure. But it might have to be some of those guys a little bit, because think about on offense. You know, they lost James White, and they're looking around at a lot of inexperienced guys, a lot of new guys to the team.
And Bolden jumped into that role in a way, but was he the emotional guy, or was he a leader the way James White was? That's the stuff that we don't know, and that's the leadership void to fill. Just quickly, because I know we got to get to Shime, and we got a bunch of you on the phones at 617-779-7937. The Dork Podcast is up right now.
Sure is.
At WEEI.com. Rich and Davey knocked that out last night. Last night, what is the new Marvel movie, or one that's the newest one that's coming out?
That's the series. Okay. The new series.
All right, so they were pimping the hell out of that on Monday Night Football.
It saved Monday Night Football. The game was terrible. I think the only reason people stayed up was at halftime, we were getting the new trailer.
Steve Levy pronounced that, so it's a series, it's not a movie, right?
No, it's a TV show coming to Disney Plus.
Okay. He was like, get ready for the newest from Marvel. He pronounced it like Carvel ice cream.
Marvel. Yeah, it's not a popular thing at all, Steve.
And he did it not only once, but twice.
I bet his employers are super happy about that.
That's right, because
biggest property known to man.
ABC owns that now, right?
Yep.
Or Disney, whatever.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, pronounced it Marvel, not once, but twice. And then tried to make a joke of it, and then they were just like
embarrassing.
As soon as they went to Susie Colbert, she got that ish right real quick.
Oh yeah,
whenever they were intro.
Good trailer,
that.
By the way.
So maybe there is someone less clueless than
me. So. We found
them. At least I know it's Marvel,
right?
Not Marvel. And by the way, the Cookie Puss cake is pretty good at Carvel. I'll leave it at that. Okay. Here's Shime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ready to tread.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
We just heard from Patriot safety Adrian Phillips, and he mentioned about the physical being there, but the mental not being there on Saturday in Buffalo. 11:23, Gresh and Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. 37937 if you want in on the text. Let's get to you, New England, because we are all across New England, down to 103.7 in Providence, Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and, of course, up in the great state of Maine. But today we start with Jay. Hang on here.
Click.
There we go. Let's go to Jay in Boston with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Jay. Hello. How are you? Hello.
Well, I have to say I disagree, gentlemen. I know how brilliant you are, but I disagree. I think you're moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic that's going down. I think the problem is not the players and who they bring in. It's the coach.
Come on.
I believe the problem is Belichick. He's 30 games away from beating Shula, is it? The all-time record. And that's all that's important here. Not getting to the Super Bowl. Not having a winning season. Nothing matters but getting those 30 victories. That means 10 a year for the next 3 years. If Watson goes to Miami, they're going to have trouble. They're going to get swept again from them. I think that... What's their schedule next year? Do you know? Can you look that up for
me? Yeah, we know the schedule. You can also look it up. But you're telling me that Bill Belichick is the problem on the team? And they would have won more games with another coach than him?
I'm saying that like Arians in Tampa Bay, okay, without Brady, these guys are 500 coaches. Look at their records.
Arians is actually above 500. 17
and 17. Since Brady's gone, he's 17 and 17, Belichick. Before Brady showed up, Belichick's record in what, Cleveland and now here, is sub 500.
Jay, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with what Bill Belichick has done over the last 22 years and the success that he's had, and why everybody in the game looks at him as a problem solver and a guy they want to emulate, while you're sitting here telling us they should go get who?
I'm saying this is the biggest fraud on the Boston sports fan, that Belichick is a complete fraud.
Belichick's a fraud.
Jay,
that is so moronic.
Jay,
like, what
you,
are we doing here?
Friend.
You're in a timeout.
Is that just Tom the Terrible calling from a different phone?
Bill Belichick's a fraud.
A fraud. 22 years he has perpetrated.
Gets zero credit, by the way, for every win with Brady.
Yep.
Right? Because Brady would have won those with any Tom, Dick, or Harry. He would have been fine there winning that.
Yeah. Hey,
see, this is my problem.
That first Super Bowl, all about Tom Brady.
This is 100%. Oh, yeah,
all
for sure. Because he was the best quarterback in the league.
Hey, Ty Law, F you. Nope, you know what? You're on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Seymour.
Ken in Boston, or whomever that was, says you didn't matter.
See,
it was all Tom Brady. They got that first Super Bowl win.
And maybe
there
you know what, Gresh? Thinking about this, maybe some of this is our fault. And I'll explain to you why.
Oh, boy.
Because sports radio, it's usually very much in the extremes, right? This guy's the best ever. This guy's the worst ever. And there's not a lot of room for nuance. And that's where we're a little bit of guilty of that. At times, I think I'll say a player's the worst ever. In reality, is he really the worst ever? Probably not. If you really ranked all the players of all time. And so I think what happens is you're getting some fans who are upset with Bill Belichick. But rather than just saying, you know what, guys, maybe he's not the best coach in the league anymore. Or, you know what, guys, this operation this year didn't run as smoothly as it has in the past. It's, he's a fraud, and his six Super Bowl wins were all because of the quarterback and had nothing to do with, like, we're going way too far to the extreme.
Right.
He's a great coach. He's the greatest of all time. Is he still the best? Like, I think the real argument to be had is, for many years, every single game, you knew the coaching advantage was in favor of the Patriots, and you knew it was a significant coaching advantage. Now, I'm fully okay with when they play the Titans – and Mike Vrabel's on the other side. Is the advantage? Do they have a big advantage? No. Do they have a slight advantage? Maybe. There's a little bit more. Or is it? It might even be a wash. It might be a wash. I'm willing to go there. But to say the guy's a fraud and he's got to go, and also the last caller saying all he wants to do is beat Shula's record and win games. Yeah, winning games is a pretty good goal for a coach. They should try to win as many games as possible. I'm okay. If Bill's selfish goal is to win games,
wow,
I will take it.
That's
as a fan,
tough sell,
I
right.
will take the wins.
He made it sound like that Bill Belichick just wants to get to 10 wins every year and be like, okay, I checked the box. Now I don't care what
but
else
you know
happens.
What's crazy is Brady,
and that's stupid.
Brady leaves and wins the Super Bowl. So Brady's running away with the who's better, who's more important, whatever. He's running away with that for right now. But in the second year, Bill made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, and yet the backlash is even more significant than it was last year. They had a winning record this year, made the playoffs. And I really think it's because they got absolutely pumped is why people feel this way. Mm-hmm. If they lost by a field goal to the Bills, and you're like, ah, well, Josh Allen's really good, and, you know, better luck next year. I mean, no, there'd be a little bit more than that. But
no, but you're right.
But 30-point drubbing, I understand why people are upset. But to have all of the anger on Belichick is
it's silly.
A bit surprising and also silly.
Yeah, because I would argue this as well. And I've always made this argument, maybe I don't want to say on behalf of Bill Belichick, but if you look from 2000 to the end of the 2019 season, there's also been no one better at maintaining success and keeping a franchise reinvented like Bill Belichick has. Now, I know it'll be like, what about 09?
Right.
Every year isn't going to be perfect. But you know what they never did? There was never the bottoming out. You lose Brady one year. Granted, you're coming off an undefeated season, but you still have an 11-5 team. You have the year with Cam. You go to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. But if you look at Bill Belichick compared to other general managers in the NFL for a 20-year period, because that's also what he's done as well,
mm-hmm.
The guy's pretty damn good. Like, to use the F word and think he is a fraud, you're not only on an island, you're probably on a raft floating in the middle of the ocean and with that thought process.
And also, like, it's kind of flawed, I think, to you're sort of cherry-picking things. So to say that, oh, he had like a losing record in Cleveland. Like, all right. Well, it was also Cleveland. He won a playoff game, and then they never won anything else, and then they moved the franchise. And also, I think coaches, like players, can get better. They can learn from their mistakes. Again, guys like Terry Francona never would have played or never would have managed the Red Sox if he was a good manager the first time around, right? Like these guys, a lot of guys get fired the first time and then improve the second time.
Or they're good and still get fired because that happens.
That happens too. And then there's also the seasons in which Tom wasn't here. So you have the first year where he's taking over for Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll got fired for a reason because he was turning the team in the wrong direction. So Bill takes over. You have the year that Brady got hurt. There's also the year Brady was suspended, and he had four games there. He went 3-1. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people, they seem to forget those ones for some reason.
No.
Those don't count.
They don't, according to some texters, they don't count.
They don't add those games.
Because Bill's record in the 90s matters now.
And then you have the Cam season, then you have this season. So I don't know. I mean, again.
How about this, folks? Answer this question. Are they better than they were last year?
They're better than they were last year.
Okay.
And also, I would say, how many coaches / GMs would you really want over Bill? And you know what? This might be the first time in 20 years that there's a few guys on that list. But to suggest that there's like 15 guys on that list that you'd rather have than Bill, I'm not there yet.
And
I'm
by the way, over 2 days, we've asked people who they want or who they would want
a GM. We haven't heard a single name.
Not a word. Nope. Not a name. Not a word. Nope. It's just, hey, this is what he did in Cleveland. Seriously.
It's just too much. It's one thing if they won. Let's say he took over for. Let's say he was Barry Switzer. Let's say he took over for an already made team, won a Super Bowl, but hypothetically, let's say won two more and then kind of bottomed out. I get it. You'd be like, all right, he didn't really do anything and it was sort of somebody else's franchise and those are fraud rings. He was here for 20 years and built the damn thing up. Pete Carroll was missing the playoffs. He comes over, misses the playoffs 1 year, and then goes on this insane run. And yes, he had Tom Brady, but guess what? Most great coaches also had great players.
That's right.
Red Auerbach probably isn't recognized as the greatest coach ever if he didn't have Bill Russell.
But when you look at him as a talent evaluator, my God.
Yep.
He knew how to go find players. Ken in the truck talking about the Adrian Phillips comments of Gresham Keith. Hello, Ken.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey. I just want to throw in a Bill Belichick thing, too. The guy took Cam Newton and was about two games away from almost being a wildcard team. That alone should just show how good of a coach Bill Belichick is.
True.
But with that being said, with the Phillips comments and, like, saying how they went mentally there and stuff, I don't know how much you guys need. Like, it's a playoff game against a team, like you guys have already said, you played twice this season. They just look flat as hell. Anyone that's ever played in any competitive sports, just you could tell it. They gave up after that first touchdown almost. After Cam threw that pick, they just looked like the wind got sucked out of them, and they were just all 17 in there in general. But with that being said, I think after the bye week, the defense just never really looked the same what it was before the bye. And that question for you guys, do you think that will affect the Titans after their whatever weight of their bye? Do you think the Bengals can beat them?
I do think the Bengals can beat them. I don't know if it's a bye week thing necessarily. I just like the Bengals a lot.
I
think Derrick Henry hasn't played in such a long time that maybe he's not going to be quite as good. There might be some rust there. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, you can't ignore the fact that Matt Judon disappeared. We're talking about five games, and obviously they popped off against the Jaguars, but those other four games were all bad, and Judon was MIA.
And on one of the Allen runs early in the game, Judon was the guy outside to be able to contain him, and Josh Allen ran around Judon like he had a pulled hamstring.
Standing still. Like Peter King said, he was on that one play, the one of the touchdowns to Knox. And he's a Josh Allen from snap to throw is like 9 seconds.
That's on your D line right there.
Where is the pass rush? Nobody can cover for that long.
No.
Not with the rules that they have today. So it wasn't just Judon. I'm not putting it all on Judon, but that's also one of the reasons why the defense looked so good during the winning streak. Was this guy was good for like a sack and a couple QB hits every single game, and then that disappeared. And you're like, all right, now these guys do have to cover more, or the slow linebackers have to try to stop the run more or whatever. And it was just, it really all kind of fell apart there at the end. Not that the offense was great, not that they were lighting it up, but the defense to me, really jumped out as just falling apart the last five games.
They didn't look like the same team after the bye for whatever the reason. And
but
I look
mental
more
thing is weird.
Yeah, that was a very Adrian Phillips has been around here long enough to know what that comment would do, how it would be interpreted, how it would be talked about on sports talk radio. Yeah. Like, Phillips is a veteran. This isn't a third-year guy or Mac with the whole feeling sorry for ourselves line. Okay, you're young. Don't say that. Somebody corrects you. Adrian Phillips has been around a minute. And, by the way, he also did business with this organization, meaning he did business with Belichick to sign an extension. So he had to have known at least a little bit that some of us were going to be like, all right, what exactly? Because I don't think, now I might be wrong, and I know all the texters, it's pile on Belichick day. But I don't think he was referring as much to the coaching staff getting the players ready versus it being a mental issue with the players.
I would still want, like, do the coaches really have to hype you up for a playoff game?
Wouldn't think so.
Like, maybe, see, now I can
see. And you think they were unprepared or that they physically got beat?
And not the way, I think more physically they got beat. And they also, they did limp into the playoffs. And someone wondered, all right, how much momentum is there from week to week? Well, it turns out it carried over into the playoffs. But yeah, I don't know. 'Cause wouldn't it almost come across as unnecessary if the coaches were like trying to get you so fired up before a playoff game? Right. It's like, it's a playoff game. I get it. And also, it reminded me a little bit, and the caller brought this up, about how basically the Bills score on their opening drive and the game was over is kind of what it felt like. It was like they were looking at the Bills the way many teams looked at the Patriots for many years, where you would play the Pats in the divisional round and you're like, Tom Brady's on the other side and Belichick. We're toast, and if it goes bad early, it's over. And there'd be like a lot of lopsided games in that divisional round. But the Bills shouldn't have that much respect. The Bills have had one conference championship appearance.
They're going to lose in KC this weekend.
I think so. I do. I think they are. But it was like, and a team that you split with a month ago, and then you go in there and you were just like, ah, these guys are too good. And they just kind of like laid down.
And the what I hope is not happening is that the defense is thinking, well, the offense couldn't score to save us, so we're screwed. That's the worst negative thought that I have in my head, is that somehow this team after the bye got divided in some way, shape, or form, but it wasn't like it was a 23-10 loss.
No, I mean, you got pounded.
And couldn't stop them from scoring a touchdown at all during the game.
Nope. Like, that's every time they have the ball, they scored.
Right. Like, if you're a defense and you lose a playoff game 20-10, then I can understand, like, after Bills game number one, when Poyer and crew and Micah Hyde were like, we give up like 14 points. What are you talking about? I can't. But when you give up 47 and you don't stop them at all, that to me is now a bigger indictment on the defense than it is the rest of the football
team. And if their kicker didn't suck, it would have been 49.
Well, that's true, too.
Should have been 49. They just scored every time. I mean, that just is ridiculous. And it's not like the offense gave them a lot of short fields, right? Like, not like they turned. I mean, they did turn it over, but not like a million times. And it was like, all right, they got the ball on the 20. And they were 70, 80-yard drives every time. It was, the field position wasn't a big thing. Like, remember in the wind game, remember Sean McDermott puffing his chest out about how they actually had good field position?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, well, it doesn't really matter if you can't score. This game, they didn't have good field position, but it didn't matter because there was no resistance from the defense.
You know, a texter actually makes a good point at 37937, and I know that as we get into the personnel end of it and where we're going in the offseason and free agency and the draft and things like that, they need an a-hole. And the texter sent it as,
they need Marcus Smart.
Well, what a great line out of you. That is very well done. It says, too many even-keeled vets out of the 774 need a Ray Lewis type minus the stabbing.
Sure,
that's a good line.
Yeah, right.
But
okay.
But I understand the point in that they don't have that one guy on. Like, right now, tone setter on defense is who? De facto, it's Judon.
It was Judon. It was Judon.
Kind of still is right now, but yes. Yeah. But that's
a, I'll say Judon.
But he doesn't have that true, like, when it's a middle linebacker,
yeah,
and I know we're
different.
Romanticizing a little bit, but still, when that guy is the a-hole in your defense, it fixes a lot.
Yeah, because, like, Jackson can only do so much, right, like, in that
He's
role.
A corner. He's only trash-talking number one receivers.
Right, it's very individual even though it's team, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, not that he's not a teammate, but it's just that you can be on an island literally at times.
And right now, think about it. In terms of a pass rush, the only guy right now that we could have any sort of confidence in saying on 3rd and 10, he can beat somebody is Judon.
And right, and that's why when he doesn't do it, we saw what that looks like for 5 straight weeks.
Nope, very much so. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Sean in Rhode Island with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Sean.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So, basically, if you look at Belichick's record without Brady, it's horrendous. He's like 10 games under 500 without Tom Brady. And you could say, well, Cleveland, the same could be said about New England when he took the job here. We were a joke without before Brady and Belichick. That being said, Tom Brady is proving he could win with any coach. Bruce Arians isn't exactly, Joe Gibbs over here or Shula.
No, but he had a winning record. Bruce Arians was a good coach before he got him.
And he was the coach of the year once.
And it was 1 year. And so you're just going to look past the 20 years that Bill was with Brady? Like, he doesn't get credit for those?
But he had a losing record in Tampa before Tom Brady got there. Now they win a Super Bowl.
He had a winning record everywhere else, though.
He turned around the whole franchise. And then, I'll go back to the 20 years here. Like, you could put any Tom, Dick, and Harry as coach in New England.
I would disagree.
And he would still win Super Bowls.
I would disagree.
Yeah, that's too. That's just wrong.
Matt Patricia would win
a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Yeah. So that's the theory. Yep. Matt Patricia.
Right.
Dan Campbell.
Yep.
Joe Judge.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Who else just got let go?
And by the way.
Ryan. Who was that? Matt Nagy. Yeah. Another genius. So apparently if Tom Brady went to the Jets, Keith, Crazy Eyes Adam Gase would win a Super Bowl, according to the caller.
I don't understand how 20 so years of experience or 20 years together, like, that gets thrown out. So you have to look at every other year without him. Brady's had 1 year, or I guess going on to his second year, with a guy, and that team was loaded. It didn't have a quarterback. He went to the perfect team. I don't fault him at all. That's the right place. That was 100% the right place
that
to go.
He got to pick.
We make fun of Bruce Arians a lot, but to be like, oh, he had a losing record before Brady got there. All right, he was 7-9 with Jameis Winston, you idiot. And prior to that, he had a winning record everywhere else he was. He was in Arizona and actually was pretty good.
He was the coach of the year as an interim.
Yes.
In 7-9 with Jameis Winston, who threw 30 interceptions 30 that year.
Right. I'm not saying that Bruce Arians
made the playoffs
twice
with Arizona.
Yeah,
so
he's
on.
Not going to the Hall of Fame.
But here's the other problem too.
We're using the example of the greatest player who has ever lived in the NFL.
Right.
That's the other problem with this. It's like, well, that manager sucked. He had Babe Ruth. Look at what his record was without Babe Ruth, right? But that's the kind of – we're talking about a guy, we're never going to see another Tom Brady ever again in our lifetime. And maybe our kids are never going to see another – so we're using the unicorn.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're taking the greatest player of all time who has outlived everyone's expectations, who is more like a LeBron James in terms of an impact on a franchise, and we're saying that one guy – is the example as to why Bill Belichick is no good.
I just don't understand. You can just toss away 20 years of it. It's insane. And again, those first three Super Bowls, more defense. This is more about the defense.
No doubt. Anyway. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with you on the phones. And the Bruins have a big night tonight, more than just playing a game. We'll tell you all about it next.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
We wanted to take a few minutes of your time to congratulate you on your jersey retirement. It's an amazing accomplishment.
I never expected when I started playing hockey that I'd have my number retired and hanging up there in the rafters with so many icons and so many greats.
We wanted to take the time as a team to really congratulate you. You've given hope to so many people and inspired so many over the years, hockey players or even anyone really on and off the ice. So, and you continue to do that. So thank you so much for everything you've done. And I hope you enjoy your celebration tomorrow. And we're so happy and proud for you.
That is Patrice Bergeron, the captain, talking to Willie O'Ree, who on January 18th, 1958, Willie O'Ree, the first black player in the NHL. He donned a Bruins sweater and made history. And Willie O'Ree honored tonight as the Bruins will host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight over at the Garden. So bigger than just a hockey game tonight, Keith. Willie O'Ree gets his just due. Good on the Bruins for doing this, but also good on the Bruins for playing some winning hockey and giving us hope.
Yeah, they're bouncing back. And a good honor tonight. Now, maybe a more, I don't know, cynical person might say, what took so long? Like, why now for Willie O'Ree? You think this honor may have happened a long time ago?
Anniversary,
perhaps,
maybe?
Perhaps. I mean, it could have been a little bit sooner. You mentioned how long ago that was that he broke through and really is the Jackie Robinson of hockey, so a very well-deserved honor.
At least they're doing it while he's here to enjoy it.
I agree with that.
One of these posthumous deals where you honor someone who should have gotten it long before.
86 years old. He looks great, too. They're tweeting out videos of him.
He didn't sound like an 86-year-old. He sounded like he could sit in here and break down the game with us.
Absolutely. So, yeah, good honor. And, yeah, the Bruins are rolling right now and get another chance tonight. See what happens.
We continue with you on the phones at 617-779-7937. Eddie in New Hampshire, Aggression Key. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So I just think since Randy Moss has been here, right, we really haven't got much of a number one receiver. So, or a number two receiver or a number three receiver. But we did have Welker. We did have, you know, Edelman. Yeah, we did have Gronk, and we did have,
right,
and a part of, you know, the guy that left with the person to say it.
Sounds like they've had some people there, Eddie.
What's your overall point, Eddie?
I know my whole thing is we should revamp who the people are picking. Our guys, offensive tools, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do know what you're saying, Eddie. Actually, it took you a minute there, but I agree with what you're saying. I think that their ability to identify wide receivers is awful. It's awful in the draft. N'Keal Harry, every guy drafted after him essentially has been a stud. He sucks. Nelson Agholor, they spent too much money on. He's not very good. And then you're forced to put Bourne and Myers in positions where they're not number ones. They're not really number twos either, but they're forced into being the number one and number two here. So, yeah, they need to figure that out. I don't like their chances in the draft just because it's been so bad.
Well, they're better at free agent evaluations on wide receivers than they have been in the draft.
Yeah, they
because,
need to do that.
You know, nobody was complaining that a second-round pick got flipped for Wes Welker by the time it was all said.
No, Welker and Moss, but again, that's 15 years ago when they brought those two guys
in. And then there was Amendola, and then there was Edelman,
they tried Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Cooks you can kind of go both ways.
He did it for a year, and then they didn't want to pay him.
Right. No, I know, so that's the thing.
And Cooks hasn't really popped off since, right? Like, he's had good years.
He's, like, consistent.
But
he's fine.
He's more of a 2-3 than he is a 1-2.
I think, yeah, he's definitely more of a 2, but it's definitely a position of need, and you can't ignore it, and you can't do the old, oh, yeah, everybody talks about they need weapons. No, they do. Look at all the teams that are still playing. They all have them. Patriots don't.
Let's go to – I was waiting for the I was going to start naming scouting staff guys because I'm like, well, if you're going to rip the scouts, then at least tell me who they are.
Well, they need to be new ones.
Yeah, there you go. That's all people have. Uh-huh. That and Bill Belichick had a bad record in Cleveland. I've heard that. That's the focus of today's calls, apparently.
And he didn't win with Cam Newton.
That's right. That's right. By the way, doesn't what happened in Carolina drive home how actually a decent coaching job Bill Belichick did last year?
No, I think it goes back to 2020 was the year where Bill had a horrible GM year and actually a great coaching year.
Because as soon as Cam went to Carolina,
it sucks.
They were craftily tanking.
They got worse than PJ Walker and Sam Darnold.
It was a popular tank job. They did it. So they disguised it with Cam so that nobody went nuts.
Did he get benched in like every game he played?
I think it was the last two, I'm pretty sure.
Just a mess.
So maybe we're going to look back on that 7-9 year and people are going to be like, hey, he did that with Cam Newton towards the end.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at Cam and how it ended and you're like, because is Cam Newton playing in the NFL next year?
No, he shouldn't be. And so, yeah, you won 7 with Cam. And then it turns people into a little bit of a pretzel because there's a lot of people now that are starting to doubt Mac Jones. They don't like Mac Jones. So, all right, great. If you don't like Mac Jones, how do you win 10 games with him? Wouldn't that kind of be on the coach a little bit?
So well, like, Cam will be available if that's what people want.
You could grab him if you'd like.
617-779-7937. Jammed on the phones talking about Brady and Belichick and the Patriots and the comments from Adrian Phillips, which definitely have rocked us a little bit in terms of where this football team was mentally. We've got more of you and Pat's talk coming up here, top of the hour. Gresh and Keefe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.